All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I hate to break the fishing news after Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
This is episode 283 of the Real Life Podcast. I'm Tyler Remchuk, Bag Milk, Wanye, Chalmers, Jay. Everyone is here to break down game one of the Oilers series against the Jets. Before we do that, got to give some love to our new friends, our new title sponsor, HGA. They do a lot. I was looking at their website and there are about nine things I could rattle off. Some of them include advisory, law, insurance, HR, marketing, accounting, HGA Group. You can find them online at hgagroup.ca.
I've got some personal testimonial about HGA Group. First of all, they're diehard Oilers fans and have been Nation citizens for a long time. But HGA has single-handedly gotten our lives as business owners in order. So
yes,
if you are a small business owner or a business owner of any degree, HGA has the suite of services that you need to make sure you're a lot of things. Organized, legally compliant, tax compliant, not suable, all those fun things that allow you to stay alive in business. And HGA, I got to give you a warning. We are working on some shit on the back end of our business. So we're about to flood you with some stuff. I was on the phone before the pod with our business dad, Chris Labossier, and we got some shit cooking.
Nice. Let's get the HGA guys working hard so we don't have to.
Yeah. HGA is also working on the most important project in Nation Network history, and that is the revamp of dailyfaceoff.com.
Oh, I thought you were going to say disc golf tournament.
No, don't worry. They want to get involved in the events. Don't kid yourself. So they will be part of all of our events going forward too, but real solid local company, so much brand alignment. I know this just sounds like I'm just giving them the biggest plug of life, but it's true. And that's why I'm saying it. I'm speaking from the heart.
HGA group.ca. All right, let's dig into this hockey game last night. Chalmers, how drunk were you? Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, like 5.
I saw you on the beat cast, and you looked a little banged up. But
hey,
I can tell. Like,
no, he was not.
I brought Chalmers onto the beat cast. I can tell that he had a cocktail, but I wouldn't say banged up.
No, he looked like an upset Oilers fan.
Yeah, I think I had a cocktail with every period, and then that was my fourth one. I wasn't that banged up at all. You know what I was? I was like, there was so much excitement going into the game. And I went and did the pregame with JR and Josh Park. And, you know, a full day of like excitement and anticipation and, you know, and then living through it and watching it and just being involved 110% for the whole game. I was a little spent by the end of it. I was a little tired. Mm. And I was a little disappointed, to be honest. So
I was going to say,
that's probably why.
I was going to say, talking to you, Chalmers, the vibe I got was just, you weren't angry, but just disappointed.
Here's why I was disappointed, because, you know, I said it on the pregame that the only thing, it's like when you tell your children something 10 times and then they do it again. And at this point, you're not mad anymore. You're just like disappointed. You know, we talked about how they just had to come out and just play hockey at a playoff intensity, and that we had to, you know, basically just, you know, I'm having trouble putting this into words, but basically they didn't up their game, and that's all we needed. So when I didn't see it, I was just like down, you know, disappointed. When you're not mad, I'm not mad at them, because what I saw was a team that was overthinking everything. And the one point I made can encapsulate the whole game, and that is simply when they would have the puck in their own end and their defense would have it at about the ringette line, and you'd see our guy skate towards them kind of half-assed, like waiting for him to make a move, right? We weren't pressuring that. We weren't dictating the play. We were reacting to what they were going to do. And in playoffs, you can't do that. You have to force your will upon people. And we were getting our will forced upon us. And it was...
Second period, we were forcing our will, but it was outside of that, I would say you're right.
I'll disagree a little bit and say that the Oilers had the puck on their stick more than the Jets had the puck. Like, Edmonton possessed the play and had the puck in the offensive zone more than the Jets did. So in that sense, they were dictating play. But where I'll agree with you is that the Jets clearly had a goal of keeping the Oilers to the outside in the offensive zone, and they accomplished that goal. The Oilers couldn't find a way to actually penetrate and get a lot of like high end chances. I'll agree with you and disagree with you a little bit.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to add also that, like, when the Oilers did get some quality chances, which I thought there were some, especially in the second period, Connor Hellebuck was there to shut the door. And I tweeted it last night, and I'll say it again now, that when the opposing goalie finishes with a 970 save percentage, you probably lost. And it doesn't matter where the shots come from. I know there's a bunch from outside.
Well, it does.
It doesn't, because you need to get shots on net and you need to create your own luck, because the Jets were doing what I wanted the Oilers to do and just throwing more pucks on net. And that's how they got both of their goals.
And that's what we weren't doing. And I think that's the thing that was kind of upset me, especially when we had the ice tilted in the second period, is we weren't trying to get pucks on net. We were trying to make many plays.
Crash the crease.
Exactly. Look how the game-winning goal went in. Like, that's playoff hockey right there.
Earlier in the pregame show, too, I said, like, this playoffs, goals are being scored from the outside. And in hockey these days, like, you have to use those points. And McDavid was doing it a lot. A lot of the guys were. But when we get the puck back to that point and they go D to D and then we look for that shot, those shots weren't getting through.
No,
they weren't. They were flooding the front of the net. But to my further point about it is, what playoff hockey is supposed to look like is, if you guys can remember, maybe like early 2000s or mid 2000s World Juniors, when you would see Canada come out, and if another team had the other team had the puck, they were getting hit. It wasn't a question, right? Well, last night, every single time I saw where a guy was going into, you know, there's weak and there's hard contested plays. A weak one is, you know, waving the stick. A hard one is putting a body on him. And I would say that every single time I would go hit him, you know, and try to create a play, it was happening 10%, I would say, of the time. And the one time where I was just getting frustrated because it hadn't been happening, and then Josh Archibald comes in the corner, hammers DeMello. What happened? He ends up getting the puck at the blue line and comes in on a score. And I just kept looking at my boys and I'm like, when you create turnovers like that, it creates chances. And we just didn't, we were overthinking how to create turnovers.
I thought the Oilers were pretty physical. I didn't really have much of a problem with their physical game. I thought they did okay. Like, I don't remember the Jets being like crazy physical on them. There was, it was kind of a black game.
Whoa. 900 to Q.
The hits
makes no sense.
Well, I think again, like, it's hits are such a weird thing too, because like that play where Josh Archibald blows up DeMelo in the corner, like 2 seconds after that, what led to him getting the puck, and I guess this does go to your point, Charles, is there was Kara and Chason also both hit Jets like right on the boards right after. Like, there were three hits in the matter of a minute where you might not quite realize there were three hits in the matter of a minute. So
I saw.
Right.
According to the NHL site, the hits were 68 to 50 for the Jets.
And so hits do two things. Not only do they, can they create a turnover at that moment, but it puts that bug in the guy's head thinking, if I get the puck, you know, I saw Chason forechecking in on a dump in, and the defenseman got it behind the net and like skated to the corner and made a pass, and where Chason should have finished his check, even though the puck had been passed the split second before that, he turned away. That guy is going to go back in that corner again and go, I don't need to worry about this. But you hit that guy and it puts a bug in their head. The minute that bug's in their head thinking they're going to get a hit, they're going to get hit every time they touch a puck, it's when they start making split second bad decisions, creating more turnovers. I just think we need to do more of that.
I just think that Chalmers is right in the sense that if you're going to play the dump and chase game, which the Oilers were doing a lot last night, you got to fucking hit the guys when you're getting in there on the forecheck, or else there's
the
no
whole point of dumping it. That's
there's
the
no
whole
point
of dumping
doing it if you're not going to yep. follow through on the checks.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of positives out of last night's game. I thought Mike Smith played great. I thought he looked really, really sharp, you know, which is what you want your tender to look. Is
especially
like,
early. I feel like they tried to get to him early and he was not having it.
Yep. Yep. You know, a couple of really nice rushes by McDavid where it was, you know, and some unbelievable passing by Draisaitl. Like, the big guys were doing what they had to do, you know, and I mean, we can discuss the guys that didn't do anything. I know Cassian was a big, you know, topic of conversation on the B-cast last night.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm just really frustrated with Cassian's game this year in the sense that if he's not banging and crashing a little bit, what does he do?
It's like he went into the game with the mindset that I'm going to score some goals. And it didn't look like he went in there with the mindset of the old Cassian, which is I'm going to bang as many bodies as I possibly can.
Yeah. I think it was his first game back from injury. So I'm not a guy who likes cutting Cassian slack. I was pissed at him in the qualifying round against Chicago. But I think it was his first game back from injury, so I give him a little bit of a break, but not. He's got to figure it out. He gets one game, and I'm hard on him if he doesn't bring it on Friday. The other thing I want to say, like, there are a lot of Oilers fans kind of freaking out right now, and there are
Read the comment section on the wrap up. I just like it was amazing to me just kind of looking through them this morning how I just watched a completely different hockey game than a lot of people. It seems like. I think that there was a lot of frustration. I didn't like the Oilers start. I thought they were a little bit sloppy, but to put it in context, everybody's like, well, it took them 8 minutes to get a shot. Okay, fine. But if you look at the big picture, Winnipeg had fucking three. So like, let's pump the brakes a little bit on that. The start wasn't great. The second period was, and in the third, they just didn't match Winnipeg's intensity. They got that greasy goal. Jay talked about it. Shooting puck on net, deflection, greasy depth goal. And the Oilers couldn't match. But I don't think they were so terrible that this series is just a write-off like some fans that I'm seeing on social and on the website. It's just
the
wild.
The Oilers lost the game in the second period by not getting another goal. Like that was they were playing well enough and applying the pressure to win that game in that second period, and they only got the one goal, and then they gave up that one too, which was, you know, two gaffes, defensive gaffe and also a rebound gaffe of Smith. So that also stung, but like it getting two goals in that second period was crucial. Mm-hmm. We didn't, and here we are.
If you got a lead going into the third period, it's a different game.
Different.
It's just Connor Hellebuck. Again, I'm going to tip my cap to him that he did his job. He excelled.
Oh, I don't think the Oilers made him
work hard enough, though. I don't think they did enough of that.
And that's valid,
I agree.
When it comes to what you guys say, like freaking out, like I always kind of wonder what the line is, you know, like I don't believe that the way that I'm reacting to the game is by any means freaking out. I still believe we have the series in five. I still, you know, I still have the faith. I see the good things. I see Jesse Puljujärvi absolutely knocking my socks off and like completely overachieving in my books.
Fast forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was flying, you know, and so like in the comment section, I guess my question for you, Bag Milk, would be, I guess what's that kind of line where you say people are freaking out? Like,
you can tell.
You can tell. It's like the series may as well be over. It may as well be over after.
Okay, I'm just curious.
There were people texting in to the radio station today going, oh, Connor McDavid, all he ever cared about was 100 points, and he's ready to mail it in come playoff time.
Oh, my God.
Not a leader. I had one guy text in, goes, yeah, best player in the world. Are you watching the Avalanche series?
And it's okay. Yeah, we are, you fuck.
It's amazing that, like, two good players can exist at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I don't know if this plays into it, but waiting until Wednesday when the playoffs started on Saturday, maybe that got the nerves. I mean, I saw somebody where I was taking it as like a lack of effort. I probably misspoke. I don't think they had a lack of effort. They did look like they were trying hard, but in the not finishing checks and not doing the things that playoff hockey requires. Yeah. I think maybe that can be equated with overthinking / nervousness. Could that be a byproduct of having to wait till Wednesday?
Well, that was the first period. That's what you saw in the first period.
All Connor cares about is 100 points. He literally said, I do not give one shit about 100 points the entire season to the point they had to ask their teammates if they cared. And they're like, we care. He doesn't care.
I love
All he cares about is 100 points.
He's not listening to another word we say. Oh, it's just stewing on him that comment. I knew that would get you riled up right when I heard it.
How can people fucking diss Connor McDavid, you stupid dunces?
He's not a leader. He's not a leader.
I love I love everyone's got a firm definition of leader. Also, it's just like they've got this dead set thing in their mind of this is how it's.
I do
be.
In the dictionary. It just shows Mark Messier's picture. That's all.
Yeah, like I just put out the best season since Lemieux in '93. I guess you're in charge then. Like that doesn't seem that unreasonable.
And to the Oilers fans who are staying like level-headed and supportive, I applaud you a little because we've been ripping on the irrational ones, but like. Go back 2006 round one against Detroit. What happened in game one?
Lost.
Oilers round 2-06 against San Jose. What happened in game one?
Lost.
2017 round one against San Jose. What happened in game one?
They lost. I was there. I watched it.
And what happened in all three of those series?
We won.
They won. Like you could, there's a reason they play best of seven, not best of three.
It's a body
of
work. It's a body of work.
And look around the NHL. Look around the NHL right now. What happened in game one of Boston, Washington? Boston lost. What did they do? They won two in a row. They're up 2-1 now. Pittsburgh lost game one. Were people yelling, trade Crosby? He's not a leader. No, they won game two. Series is even. Vegas lost game one.
Just remember that guy, your M-Chuck, so I can text him and tell him the fuck off.
Well, just remember, like, granted, the takes are horrific. There's a lot of trauma
in the Oilers fam.
So, like, it comes up and shows up in weird ways, and I don't agree with it. The takes are horrific, but, like, yeah, we lose the first game. Is it hard by to flash back to the play-in series? Like, is it that hard to do that as an Oilers fan? No. That's why I stayed quiet for, like, 30 minutes after the game. Because I was going through a fucking mental roller coaster of disappointment and a rage and just going through the trauma. Then I kind of brought some attention and awareness to it. Then I was calm. Then I put out a tweet of positivity.
That's being mindful. That's what that is right there.
And JR, when you say that trauma, it makes me think about it's 6:45 and we've just cooked. Me and my wife decided to have a nice appetizer dinner, like not the wings, not the. That's a nachos taking nachos. My kids got their jerseys on. My wife's got her jersey on. I got my jersey on. It's 6:45 and I'm standing at the fridge. And I remember looking at her and saying, it's weird because I like always before a playoff game, I have like, or a series like this, I have that feeling of like excitement. But I know in the back of my mind that like this night could end very negatively,
yes.
You know, by me being disappointed. And I'm like, I don't have that feeling tonight. And so it was, that's why it was such a letdown. Cause I just was not, I was not expecting for Bag Milk to have to eat beef. I was not expecting for us to even be down a bit. I mean, 4-1, I thought it was going to be 5-1 the other way. I just couldn't have been any more wrong going into this game. And that is disappointing,
but
right?
Again, I think that's a bit of a product of we had like a whole week of doing nothing but getting hyped up for this series and talking about the positives, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a letdown in game one, but I turned to Matt Iwanek during the game and it was about a minute into the third. And I said, this game is starting to reek like one they lose on a bad bounce in OT. And it didn't take till OT. The bad bounce happened. And the last thing I'll say about the game is they got like the tip. Sure, it's a nice deflection, but it also like hit a stick and then hit Tinanato or whatever his name is, then hit the post, then hit the back bar. Like that's a bounce. And you get bounces in playoffs. And that's a big part of playoff hockey.
But if you throw pucks on net.
Sure.
That needs to be like, that's the playoff game. Yes, finesse. Yes, try to make plays. But we need, and granted, we did get a lot of shots on Hellebuck, but like, where was the traffic? The only good tip we had was Puljujärvi. Puljujärvi had a good tip there. You know, in a different game, that might go in. Like, that's the difference of, you know, lucky tip. But like, need more of that.
Yes.
Got to get those pucks through.
When you talk about getting more shots on net, it's not clear shots at Hellebuck where you could just stare at it going into his glove. The Oilers need to fucking drive the crease. Yeah. They need to get greasy. Two guys hacking away.
Oily.
They need to get real oily. And I didn't feel like the Oilers last night were attacking the crease enough and looking for the garbage goals that come so often in the playoffs.
Get in fucking Hellebuck's head, slash him in the leg, do all those things. It's gamesmanship. Like,
that's why I recommended a lot of farting whenever they were near him, whenever possible.
So Yaremchuk, you were at the game last night, right?
Yeah.
Weren't you the greatest?
Things about that. I have one comment and one question about the game outside of the hockey game that we watched.
Yeah.
Number one, I got chills, absolute fucking chills when they went to our national anthem singer. And the PA guy was playing the "Let's Go Oilers," like, you know, where remember how like the very first they used to have the guy used to not be able to really start the anthem because it was so goddamn loud, so he'd just wait, right? And the chant would go on for so long, and it would be like incredible. I love that they piped that in. Number two, my question for you, and I don't know if you noticed this, but I need this answered. There was 12 frontline workers at the game. My question is, was there a concession stand open for them? Could they get beers and pizza and food? Or did they have to sit there with nothing? Did they bring their own stuff in?
Good question.
I need to know this kind of stuff, man.
So there's been a concession open for the media as well the whole season. So you can go to a little stand and there's like a fridge with some pops. No beer, like obviously no alcohol. There's a fridge with pops. There's a little stand to make a coffee and a Keurig. There's some popcorn. There's water bottles. So you can grab that stuff, just grab and go. And I believe the frontline workers had access to that too, because they were sitting right next to us in the loge level.
That's just my nightmare, Chalmers. Hey, like, where's the booze? There is none. Where are the fans? There is none. Who can I watch the game with? Rhea Remchuk and Terry Jones only. No!
You best believe Terry Jones snuck in a Mickey.
I haven't seen him at a game this year, actually. I don't think he's been going.
Fans in the stands, if this ever isn't a PSA opportunity to get vaccinated, I don't know what is. I am watching footage of Carolina's full fucking barn, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like, we need this. I miss this. Our team needs this.
Do you have ever imagined two Canadian playoff runs in this country without fans? It's just so wild.
The Florida Panthers have been playing without fans for years. It's fine.
Hi-oh.
So to answer your question, Chalmers, there is a kitchen and there's a little menu button or a little menu QR code on your table and you scan it and it brings up a menu and you call the number and say like, hey, can I get a pepperoni pizza? And then a little guy brings it out to you, to your table.
Like a 2-inch tall person?
How
little are we talking?
Yeah. Like a special type of life form?
No. But yeah, to answer your question, you can get food and concession there. They bring it out.
They only pay this person half of their wage?
They pay him in magic dust. They pay him in gold coins. Yaremchuk, you've got to go. You have obtained the hardest to obtain Oilers tickets of all time. Okay. And you're so nonplussed by it. It drives me nuts.
The toughest decision is deciding whether or not I want to go or if I want to stay home and drink.
Oh, I'm literally like, I'm going to take Yaremchuk's face off with a knife, put it over my face and go there and be like, hello, I'm Tyler Yaremchuk. Please let me introduce Connor. And they'll be like, sir, you're bleeding. And I'll be like, it's okay.
On a serious note, you couldn't sneak in a Mickey or something?
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good way to like never get a press pass again. So I'm not sure if I would take that risk.
See, what I would do is I would have a camel pack on, right? And just kind of walk around hunched over all night and then just run it up my sleeve. And as I'm constantly scratching my nose like this, I'm just taking big rips of rum and Coke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge rips, bud.
Yeah, you can bring them, bring the hard booze. The trick to not getting caught when you bring in booze is use their mix.
But right? Then, like,
you only have to bring in a little bit of rum.
You don't bring your own mix.
Never.
I've been rolling in with 2 liters this whole time. Yeah.
Why do you have 4 liters of Coke Zero?
But then they'll either, but at that point, just you pretty much just have to drink it straight. I feel like if you're trying to sneak booze into like an event, like you have lost the ability to mix because either someone's going to see you pouring both of them into a cup or they're going to, I think that's it. That right
I'll tell
there,
you what,
right?
I've got a ski jacket that has like a water bladder in it that you fill with water and it's got a little tube in like the lapel or whatever that you kind of just lean over.
Yep.
Take a little sip. And where you go. So, and we all know Roger's place is ice cold. So put on a parka. I'll lend it to you. Fill it up with your favorite spirit, perhaps some neon deuce vodka, and have yourself the proper night. Do it for all of us.
I knew a guy, your MCAC, he rigged up like a hand soap dispenser with like a longer than normal rubber tube on the front of it. And he filled it up with booze and he would put it in his pocket and run the hose like down his sleeve. And then he would push on the soap dispenser and dispense booze through that tube to people at events.
Wow.
That's the kind of technology you need if you want to pull this off.
Yeah.
Or you could fit at least 2 beers in a tin of Pringles. Maybe you just want to bring a snack, you know?
I bring a Ziploc bag of candy to every game because I like eating candy so much.
You love its sweet taste, don't you? Yeah, exactly.
He sits back in his chair on Media Row, satisfied after slowly unwrapping a word.
Having figured out the sports media industry in an hour.
Hey, eating his delicious candy. Are you guys going to do, I'm kind of a little bit of a superstitious person in certain ways. You guys going to change up your routine for game day?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'm not going. I'm getting drunk. I'm staying home and getting drunk.
I'm watching on a different television.
Yeah.
I was repping Nation gear yesterday. I am going Oilers jersey.
Yep.
Chalmers, you took off your cowboy hat, so you fucked up big time yesterday. Mm,
big time, Ricky.
I also want to shout out Chalmers. He came on the pregame show and was a fucking legend. How do I know you're on the pregame show? Is on the host right beside you?
No, how did you know I didn't have my cowboy hat on? Oh, my wife.
And check the comments. Check the comments. Check the comments. I commented, where is his cowboy hat? Cowboy Chris is a brand, and the citizens want more of him. Come do it more. Let's have fun. That's what the playoffs is all about. There's not enough content we can create, so let's get together and just have a blast. So Chalmers,
we talked about you on the intermission show, Chalmers. I told the story of when you came in for one of your first podcasts on this show, and I was like, Chalmers, he's doing great. He's like real loose and talkative. And you left your Slurpee cup there when you left, and like 2 days later, I was like, Chalmers, a Slurpee cup. Guess what? It wasn't Slurpee. It was that Mickey he talked about sneaking into a hockey game. He snuck it in the Slurpee cup.
The very first time I was nervous, and I knew exactly which Chalmers you wanted for this show, but I realized that was not sustainable at Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So that was a one and done. So I couldn't do that anymore.
Time to make 11:30 Chalmers pop out at noon. Here you go.
Yeah, right.
Playoff game day Chalmers. We need more of that.
All right. We started the show by giving some love to our new friends at HGA, but we have more new friends. Playoff time means a lot of new friends for the Real Life Podcast. NeoFinancial.com, a better way to spend, save, and get rewarded. We're going to be doing a ton of stuff with them. They are the sponsor of Nation Drafts as well. There's a chance to win some prizes through Neo Financial as well. They can help you out with your savings. Head to NeoFinancial.com. Like I said, I'm looking at the picture right now, like their app and all that looks super easy to use, super simple layout. This is the stuff I like because I would describe myself as financially illiterate. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to money. So apps like this and companies like Neo Financial, they are a big help. Check them out.
High interest savings account. So quick.
I don't know what that means.
I need to take a HGA business meeting break. Bag milk.
Yes.
Neo Financial, as part of their partnership with us, they want to, we're going to do five separate contests with them on Oilers Nation in the other Nation team set accounts. They want to give away $200 like a week.
What?
To Nation people. So check them out. They're an Alberta started company by the original founders of Skip the Dishes. This is their next iteration.
And we're going to have them on the pod soon to talk about coming up with the idea for Skip.
Good Prairie Boys doing cool shit and helping put Alberta on the map.
I don't save my money in a bank. I keep it all in this glass jar that sits in front of me.
If you put that in a Neo Financial savings account, you can earn like 1.3% of that. So that jar could have
next to your hard candy.
Yes, it is next to my bag of hard candy.
Next to your hard candy and
my water bottle.
Your rock that says, turn me over. And then the other side says, ah, that feels good.
That's a good one. That's a good one. All right.
That's what
I
my grandparents used to have.
Really? But then, okay. But then eventually you got to flip it back and then the joke's not as funny. But all right.
Your grandma Chuck loves all sorts.
Way to overthink it.
I hate all sorts.
That's a lie.
The other night I stayed up till like 11 o'clock. Did you know that? I was really impressed.
He texted the Oilers Nation radio group text. I was shocked to get.
I was
a
like,
text
"Boys, I'm still up." Stunning, stunning. The toughest part about my schedule, my sleep routine, is right now. I try to go to bed at 9 o'clock, but it's too damn bright out, and I can't fall asleep.
Nine o'clock, for real.
Get the eye mask.
If we're done with hockey, and we want to talk about something from last podcast, can we talk about Drake for a second? Yeah. We love Drake.
Finally.
What the fuck is he doing?
What's wrong?
Why doesn't he work? Did you see the picture last night? So last night
at the Lakers
NBA
game.
There was a play-in game between the Golden. Yeah, but afterwards, then he's like posting pictures on social with LeBron and all the Lakers,
but they're
being like,
boys, though,
my brothers, it? My brothers, they did it. He's just there for every like front-running team. We remember when he was with Duke, and then all of a sudden he's with Kentucky because they're so great. And like,
well, there's a Drake curse, God, man, right? He's always jumping from team to team, and they always get smoked.
Chalmers, if you could be friends with, like, I don't know, let's say like you were super
Drake
with the Washington Capitals,
aww,
and like you had a chance to be like buddies with like Ovi and shit. Would you, and the Oilers were out, they're out of the picture. Would you not like go to their game and like post pictures with them after and be like, my boys, what's up? Like Drake's just tight with everyone.
How about Ovi screaming at his teammates last night? That was the best.
So good.
But what if I work for the Edmonton Oilers? And
that's the difference. Exactly.
For the Edmonton Oilers. And then all of a sudden the Washington Capitals are front running and now I'm best friends with Ovi. And then the next year, the Colorado Avalanche look like they're going to win it. So me and Nathan MacKinnon are hanging out. Like that's kind of getting old, that whole shtick, don't you think?
No, his work with the Raptors is like a partnership. It's not like he's like an employee. Well, he is, like, technically employed.
But if he's a diehard fan, then you gotta lean in. You just can't go around.
It's
but
not like he was wearing a Lakers jersey.
All right, let's put it this way. Hey, I'll put
about how he's boys with LeBron. They talk about it all the time on social.
Well, of course, for optics, like he wants to, like LeBron is the biggest name in basketball. So for optics, it's good that he has buddies with him. But like, he's got to be repping the rap if that's his thing. Like, think about this. I am part of Oilers Nation. I'm also part of the Nation Network. I was seen at a Flames game in no Flames regalia,
cheering,
and I was fucking burned at the stake.
Yes,
you were the fan of the game, and
but
you
for Drake,
said
it's
on the
okay.
scoreboard, I don't like the Oilers anymore.
But for Drake, it's
and then
okay.
you said your social insurance number.
But for Drake, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not okay for either of you.
Well, exactly, and that's why I went. I went so agnostic to that game.
Yeah,
and I made a bet, and
you were standing up and clapping. That was the problem.
I was cheering.
From
my wallet.
You were cheering.
I wasn't
for
even
your favorite.
Really cheering. I stood up because everyone else stood beside me.
Everybody was looking at you standing, going, damn, this guy really loves the Flames.
Yep.
I'm wearing a gotcha. Company hat. I'm wearing a black t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there.
Gotcha.
Oh, fuck. Everyone caught me. My phone fucking blew up. And my buddy from ATB, Johnny Winwick, was trying to come to my defense. And then he got fucking blown
up. He did. He got dragged into it. Well,
it was,
are both in big trouble.
Which I respect. But that's a reaction I totally respect, because I am a diehard Oilers fan.
Yeah.
So why is this okay for Drake to be this visibly diehard Raps guy to then just like throw it all away?
He's not a fan though. He's a paid ambassador of the team. That's the difference.
I mean, that's not authentic.
Would you see Steve Yzerman at a Bruins game being like, Cam Neely, my bro?
Yeah, but if you see how he acts like in that playoff run, it's if the Raptors are his team. Like he's getting players.
He's crazy. A Toronto man.
Okay, so then that let's even lean in on that. He's a Toronto man. So why is he then all of a sudden an LA man? Or why is he all
of a
sudden?
Maybe he's trying to get LeBron to come to the Raptors.
Well, you know,
he's got a new album coming out. He's got to be in LA, baby.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, then don't be like this super fan and then just like quickly.
How about we let people cheer however they want?
I think that's a shame to
their
fandom.
There's a new album coming out?
Yeah, Certified Lover Boy?
CLB.
I'm a fan.
He's been hyping
it
for like a year.
Yeah.
I question his sports fandom. That's all.
He's had a heart shaved into his hair now for most of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
it's good though.
Certified lover man.
He is lover boy. He is hyping the album Chalmers for the cost of 45 seconds of his barber's time.
Yep. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
All right, I want to wrap up our sort of Oilers discussion, because we're going to get to Scott Hastings.
Oh, that wasn't the Oilers discussion.
I know that wasn't, but I want to circle back and wrap up at the same time the Oilers discussion by going around the horn and just asking everyone, do you want to see any lineup changes? And if not, what sort of like tactical changes? What do the Oilers have to do differently in game two to get the win?
Well, it looks like the lines are going to change, aren't they?
Well, Rashog tweeted out some like fairly vague stuff about like line rushes that they were doing that weren't really line rushes. It was weird. So I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't think anything will change tomorrow, but we'll see.
Because Rashog had in these rushes that Tyler said were non-traditional line rushes, according to Rashog, McDavid, Draisaitl, Cahoon together, Yamo, Nuge, Puljujarvi.
I don't want them to change the lines. Here's the thing. The fans can be a little bit crazy, and we're allowed to like overreact a little bit, but Tippett's not. And I think that completely changing the lines after game one would be somewhat of an overreaction. That's kind of like showing no faith. You know, it wasn't the lines. Like what I saw him trying to do a lot, which he's been doing a lot for the past 3-4 weeks, is trying to get McDavid out on, you know, other lines or put Draisaitl up with McDavid just to get them more ice, right?
Yeah.
And so just keep doing that. Just keep doing what they were doing.
And maybe that's what they're practicing. Maybe that's what they're practicing, right? Is that exact thing that you just described. I think you got to keep it the same. Zach Cassian is on an extremely short leash. I'm trying to think, like, who do we want in the lineup right now?
Ennis,
where would he go?
Instead of Cahoon, that's really the only change you can make.
And then Shore
over Cassian or Neil.
I'm not gonna lie.
I didn't mind Neil last night.
There was a lot of Oilers I didn't mind. I thought Nuge had a pretty good game. I thought he was generating a bit. He was making some smart plays. He came back defensively nicely a couple times. I wrote down
McLeod was flying.
Some people don't remember
that. McLeod got robbed right on the doorstep too. Yeah. Like, I cannot wait till that fucking kid scores his first goal.
That one, him and
there Yamo wasn't a lot, even though they lost, like there wasn't a lot to be upset about. And my like last sort of take on the game is it was 1-1 going into the third, and the Jets got their bounce. They put a puck on net, credit to them, but they got their bounce.
Yep.
I wish I could go into a simulator and see what the conversation would be like if Slater Cuckoo threw a puck on net and Zach Cassian deflected it home and the Oilers won the game 2-1 or 4-1 with empty netters. But if that would have been flipped, if the Oilers would have gotten the bounce in the third, instead of the haters saying, oh, Dave Tippett got out coached, they don't know what they're doing, they played like shit, it's Chicago Series 2.0. The conversation would have been, because of one bounce in a hockey game, one bounce, it would have been like, Oilers know how to play tough playoff hockey. Yep. Jets are no match. Edmonton is deep. Depth scoring came through. That's how you win in the postseason, baby. Tight game and you got your bounce. Like, That one bounce really changed the entire narrative, which, I mean, it changed the whole result of the game, but still.
I did, and to Chalmers' earlier points, Cowboy Chris, my boy, more physicality. Up it. We need to see more. Winnipeg needs to feel us.
You want me to fix this series quick?
I got a question for you.
Yeah, Wanye. How do you fix it?
Where the fuck is Tippett's mustache? I was distinctly under the impression that when we hired this guy, he was going to come with a mustache, and there is no mustache.
I wrote about the Tip stash on Oilers Nation a couple of days ago. And if you look through the photos, it is a glorious, powerful duster. And the fact that he will not bring that back is disrespectful to
making
me.
Making the playoffs every year when he had a stash. Where's the stash?
I watched the press conferences after the game yesterday, and so I've got now a second comment on top of the first one that I had. Tippett looks like his facial hair has gone completely gray too. So, like, maybe he just doesn't like the salt and pepper or something. I don't know.
Just for men. That's what Just for Men's from. Just brush it in.
Yeah, well, he could
brush
it in. Yeah, I know. Number two, Yaremchuk. Somebody who knows more than I do, obviously, about this kind of stuff. Uh-uh. Do the Winnipeg Jets dislike Paul Maurice? Because there was a question to Blake Wheeler yesterday, and Blake Wheeler made a comment that really showed disrespect to his coach. It was basically like, well, you got to ask him that. I mean, I don't know what he thinks. Something like that. Didn't they have a problem in the season with Shifley and him?
There was a Shifley benching that happened a month ago. Dave Tippett's been there for a while. Paul Maurice has been there for a while. So it wouldn't stun me if there has been a little bit of a disconnect, and the end of the season wasn't good for the Jets either. So there might be some like ongoing friction there, but I don't think they like dislike him. I think he still does a good job there. There's a reason they've kept him around for as long as they have. I don't know. I don't think he dislikes him.
I feel like he's lost his captain. that's just the sense I got from his body language, the kind of way he rolled his eyes. Oh, and did you guys listen to the press conference for Dave Tippett last night?
Yes.
That's playoff hockey.
Did you hear our boy JG kind of get a little caught off guard on his question?
No.
Go on.
Oh, no. I know JG's a fucking pro in every sense of the word. But, and you could tell he got, because they announced his name as his question. And, like, I know he knew what he was going to say, but I think he was, like, just wrestling. And so he, like, kind of gave this long-winded, like, introduction. And then came out with a question, and Dave Tippett just gave him silence. It was like, I don't know, man. Like, what? Like, almost like, what the fuck are you asking? But then he got his second question, and it was much better, and Tippett gave him a great answer. So the guy, you know, like, he's been doing it for so long, and I wonder if after that he just sat back and went, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened to me. Like, you know, you're a pro.
Right. It's tough on the Zoom calls too,
it's
right?
Tough like on the Zoom calls,
when you're face to face and you're in a scrum, it's pretty easy to like get your point across with some more context and like body language, kind of guys looking at you. It's tougher on Zoom. We talked about changing up your routine for the playoffs. Why not get yourself some lucky underwear from our friends at Twig and Berry's?
Promo code Nation15.
They're also doing a sale right now. I think it's still on. If you head to twigandberries.ca. Buy two pairs, get one free with the promo code TBFreebie. So quit using those old ripped up underwear of yours. Get some new ones. Their own brand of nutsack is very comfortable, and it can become your lucky playoff underwear. How about that? Twigandberries.ca.
Your M-Check, would you open up and sell your own Twigandberries underwear you've worn for the playoffs? Game worn, Tyler, your M-Check?
No.
I would.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm. What if Japanese businessmen paid top dollar for them?
Then yes. If there was like actual money to be made, I would sell close to anything.
Really? So you're a hooker. We're just negotiating the price.
Yeah, I'm in. We got
it. It's all about the price.
Yeah.
There's always
This is why you need an OnlyFans account, Graham Chuck.
Yeah.
There's always a number.
No.
Let's
get into our weekly sports betting segment with our friend Scott Hastings from Oddshark. Oddshark.com. Everything you need to make the sharper play. Head there now. Scotty Hastings joining us on the podcast now. Scott, how are you doing, my man?
I'm good, fellas. What's going on this week?
What do you think's going on?
I don't know.
Game one.
Yeah. But that's exactly what we called for last week. We wanted the Oilers to lose game one. Now you can get them at plus money to win the series. Exactly what we wanted.
Now we're talking.
This was all part of the plan.
So if you go right now to whatever your sports book is, the Oilers are about plus 105 to win the series now. They were plus 180 when I looked last to open the series, and now they're plus 105. That one game swing really does change things, not just in this series, but in all of them, right?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things when it comes to playoffs, and this goes across any of the sports, is that if there's a bet that you like, but they're chalky, again, I said last week, I didn't like them at minus 200. I preferred them to lose game one and get them at a plus money option, or even a lower minus option, you know, minus 110, minus 120, that type of situation. And it's almost like betting without placing a bet, because if they end up winning that first game, you just probably avoid that entire series, and it is what it is. But hopefully they lose, and then you can get that plus money option. It's one of my favorite things to play.
I am hammering it right now. I totally forgot about that, Scott. I'm so happy we are connecting right now. Betting the Oilers, plus 105. Let's fucking go.
And if you think about the win probability, you know, at minus 200, the books had them. That's a win probability of somewhere in the 65% range, 60% range.
Yeah.
And then so you're telling me that after one game, they're now like below 50% win, implied win probability. I don't buy it. So that's when you buy low, or buy low.
Yeah, I dig it, Scott.
Bet has been placed. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the other Canadian series that's going to get going tonight. It is Leafs and Habs. Leafs, obviously, big favorites to win game one, win the series as well. I want to talk to you about some props, though. You're a Maple Leafs guy. If I'm looking at this game, I want to have some fun. Any props for Leafs and Habs that you've maybe had an eye on? Any trends throughout the year? Like, how can I have some fun just third party watching Leafs and Habs?
Do we end up hearing who's 10 in the net there for, is it Carey Price? Is he getting to go?
Let's head over to our friends at dailyfaceoff.com. Click the starting goaltenders tab where our boy Brock is always updating it. It is Jack Campbell versus unconfirmed for the Habs. So we don't know yet.
Smart. Yeah. If they go Carey Price, Austin Matthews scores, is he lights up Carey Price. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that competitive nature that he just wants to show him up, but that's a strong play. I've also really liked the overshot total for John Tavares is usually set at 2.5. You know, a shot per period is very, very doable for John Tavares. Usually get it, you know, at a minus 130 range. It's a very fair price prop that I like to play quite often. I also like the under in this game. I know that's not really a prop, but it's just it's a mark I like. So I like the under for tonight's game specifically. But if Carey Price is in, Austin Matthews to score is one of my favorites.
I've been having some fun doing weird parlays recently. Again, not a ton of money, but one of the ones I hit on yesterday actually was I adjusted a bunch of over-unders for the hockey games. And I ended up taking like Flames and Canucks. I took like over 3.5. And I took it basically as low as you could get it, and all four games to go over like 3.5 goals. But the one game, Carolina and Nashville, was 2.5. And that one hit as well. Just a weird parlay I wanted to talk about. Elsewhere, just going around the NHL, what else has kind of caught your attention from like a betting perspective?
Well, just to jump on that, are you still doing the fourth line greasy goal parlay there?
No, I should, though. I should get back onto one of those here tonight, because playoff games, like, a little tighter, maybe a bit of a better edge there. Maybe I'll dig one of those up for tonight.
Yeah, I think so. Anything you can bet on Brad Marchand right now, he is absolutely I watched game, was it game three last night? And I watched their game, game two, I guess it was. And he is just being an absolute pest out there, as we always knew. But he's all around the net. He's sniffing around. Anything you can play on him, I think, is a smart play, because he's geared up right now. And he is, in my opinion, he's been the best player for Boston so far in that series. So I've really enjoyed that. You know, Colorado, I hit their puck line last night. They're just going to trounce St. Louis. There's nothing, I don't think anything has been overly surprising thus far in the playoffs. I don't know. Has anything really stood out to you guys?
Colorado stopping St. Louis hasn't been surprising, but it's been fun to bet on because the Avs are just straight up dominating them. Betting, there's a lot of overtimes. Like, if you could have gotten on like betting draws early, like that would have been a play.
Very lucrative.
Yeah. That's a tough one to play. It's just such a, I don't know. I'd much rather something where you can have a little statistical balance to betting on a game to go to overtime. It's just, it's so tricky. It wouldn't be a terrible play with Toronto, Montreal. I think three or four of their nine games this season had gone to overtime. So it may not be a terrible play, but it's just, it's not an avenue I tend to go down very often.
I'm putting together my will not score parlay. I got Matthew Joseph for the Lightning, Leo Komarov -556 on the Islanders. No way he's scoring. And Alex Kerfoot for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And now I'm just trying to find one from the Vegas game. But Scott, any plays tonight on this slate you like?
As I mentioned, I do like the under in the Toronto Montreal game. There wasn't anything that really, really stood out to me. Maybe my second one was Vegas, but I'm not in my numbers. When I ran my numbers, it wasn't a strong, strong line. It was just sort of in around the 55% hit mark. So it's not a bad play when they're at almost a pick 'em there with Minnesota. So pretty much just the under in the Toronto Montreal game. But for baseball, I do like our Blue Jays tonight. They're in around -130 against Boston. Steven Matt's getting the ball. I know he's been roughed up his last few outings, but I think he bounces back. And I also like the over in game two of the Minnesota Twins, Los Angeles Angels game.
Yes, over six, because it's a 7-inning doubleheader. Right. I'm in with you on that, too. I don't mind that at all.
We can get that in the first inning, right? Six runs, yeah. No problem.
100%. Scott, enjoy your big game tonight with the Toronto Maple Leafs, man. Thanks for giving us some time.
Go Oilers. Let's get back in the series. Let's go.
Yeah. There you go. There's the positivity we love from Scotty Hastings. Scott Hastings from Odd Shark. Everything you need to make sharp play, oddshark.com. Before we wrap up the pod, that's me firing up the lawnmower 4.0 for our friends at manscaped.com. I know Manscaped, it is a crowd favorite.
Don't cancel on us, Manscaped, please. We love you.
The promo code is Real Life. It gets you 20% off and free shipping, whether you want the performance package or the aforementioned lawnmower 4.0. So many new features and a beautiful, sexy, sleek design that will leave you looking beautiful, sleek, and sexy as well. Manscaped.com. Promo code Real Life.
Very aerodynamic, even.
Yep. You'll run faster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 100%. Swim faster, too.
How much hockey you guys been watching? Have you been dialing it in and watching like 4 hours of hockey a night?
I'm watching it every night. I don't know if I'm doing 4 hours, but watching every night. I'm catching clips. Colorado.
It's on in every TV in the house. So then I'm sitting down to watch it or doing something around it. It's what's on.
It's just the fan. The fan thing is really weighing on me. It really is. And I see it and I'm just like,
people.
Yeah, just do it. Please give us a chance to try to get into the building. The Oilers need us. Plus, we need it too. Get it to be able to watch hockey again would be so, so fantastic. You'd be able to go on a patio with your friends. So get vaccinated. Cases are coming down. So, we a lot of people are doing the right thing, but we need to do more. We need to move faster. Because, I watched it.
Do you guys think we get fans at some point here for the Edmonton Oilers? I heard one little birdie told me OEG is pushing for next week. Like they think like game five, game seven for this series, they could have fans.
Let's go. I will do whatever it takes. I will wear 38 masks, full body suit. I just feel like
no beers. If they said we're not serving drinks or food.
Yeah, well, you're Remchuk. I'll fucking sneak booze in. This is not my first rodeo.
Yeah, we're not media.
Jeez, come on. So don't worry. I'll be exactly where they need me to be. Everyone do the right thing. Because I'm, like I said, I'm watching Carolina. Now that might be an extreme because that is a sold out barn. But like you just see the energy. You're watching the hockey and you're hearing the fans. And then you watch the Canadian teams play and you're like, oh man, like, there's a huge element, especially for the game of hockey, for any American fans right now that are tuning in to watch Connor McDavid in the playoffs, and that's the atmosphere around it. Like the product isn't as good as it is in the games that you're watching that have fans in the stands.
See that Kadri hit?
Yep.
Dude is just.
Why does he only in playoffs he does that shit?
I know. Like he just can't help himself.
Well, then, that almost seemed like that was targeted because I think he probably could have got the guy's shoulder
easily. Falk was like easily, that was easily an avoidable situation. Falk was in a mid shot kind of thing, and Kadri just came flying through and hit him right on the head.
And like, they're up like 3-0.
There was no other point of contact either. It was just right to Falk's fucking head.
Like, he could have hit his body and yep, still gave him a good run and maybe rung his bell with just a solid body hit there. But yeah, that was weird.
You know, this is one that I'm a little torn on talking about because I don't like, you saw Kadri come through there. It didn't look like he left his feet. It looked like a clean hit. That dude has got to know somebody's coming through the middle if he's like that, about to take a shot. And then you see him afterwards, and he's basically saying to the guy, like, I didn't do it. Like, I didn't mean to do it or something. He's just saying, like, basically pleading his case is like, and he's looking at the guy, like, down on the ice, like, with concerned eyes, right? I don't know if that's a byproduct of the fact that he knew that that was probably going to lead to his fucking 7th suspension.
That's exactly what he thought.
But, I mean, like, it was a big, big, clean open opinion with devastating consequences. So
it was a clean hit if you're talking about 1990.
Yeah, that's that.
He got him like, right in the head, Charles.
That was directly a headshot. That wasn't like if he would have hit him in the shoulder first and then it came up and it, like,
yeah,
then that's a different story.
That
was strictly clipping of the head. Like, trust me, Chalmers, I'm all about big hits. People are shitting on Tom Wilson for literally putting Curtis Lazard in an ejector seat and having him shoot out into the stands. I fucking love that. I loved Archibald trucking DeMello, but I think Kadri, that was like a direct head contact. Like that's the type of stuff we got to get out.
Okay. And so you mean that you think that in that split second he lifted so that he would make contact with his face and his shoulder?
I think he had an opportunity to hit the player. I think he had an opportunity to hit the player in the body, like in the shoulder, and like the angle he took, because he like came at him. Like the only thing, like he, it looks like he just went for the head.
Right.
Yeah, I'm watching it back now. Okay. Like he's a millisecond. After he makes contact, both his feet are in the air. Like,
yeah, but that happens. Like the feet in the air thing, like when you go and hit a guy, sometimes you come out of your feet once you've made contact. So like that one I always struggle with. So like I wouldn't say he leapt to make that hit.
No, but it shows you that he was popping upwards, right? He wasn't necessarily like driving through. Like still image, like Falk's head is spun around like he's a fucking owl and Kadri's feet are in the air. So like it's a bad look.
Yeah. Well, you could freeze frame any fucking hit and you can make it look illegal. So I don't buy into the slow-mo bullshit.
What I'm looking at was a bad replay hit right now too, and Falk is mid-shot, right? And it's like Jay said earlier, Kadri could have easily hit the body, but he did not. It just avoids the body almost and it goes right to the head.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's the issue. After being kind of accused of like looking at Tom Wilson and immediately thinking about past discretions. I could be guilty of that with Kadri too. Cause when I first saw this hit, I was like, nah, the shithead doing shithead things. Right.
It was complete,
this time I had to really look at it again and go,
it's on loop right now on my laptop. And it's just completely avoidable. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Now I'll have to look at it again.
Yeah. Like he just could have hit him in the body and then it's end of story.
Game 2 tomorrow night, Oilers and Jets. We all expecting to win.
I'm fucking amped. This is a statement.
Angry
this
Connor is, coming out.
The Oilers wanted us to have plus odds in the series. We got it. I've bet it aggressively. Fuck yeah. And I expect Angry Connor to be out. I expect the physicality. Now the Oilers have played a playoff game. So now they've got a chance to digest, reassess, and know who they need to be on Friday to win the hockey game. And
a little adversity
will
do them good.
Yep. Playing guilty.
They have been a good team at coming back from bad games all season. They haven't lost back-to-back games since March 13th and 15th, I believe, is when it last happened. So it's been a while.
Yep.
It has been a while. And I have confidence in them bouncing back. This has been the Real Life Podcast content watch for the next 24 hours around the nation. Tomorrow morning, I will have a new edition of my new video show, 1-1-1.
I love it, which is one minute long.
It's on Twitter and Instagram. We're also going to have a pregame show with Josh and Jay and maybe Cowboy Chris.
Oh, I hope so.
Bag Milk will have all the written content going up at the website. And you'll also be hosting an episode of Oilers Nation Radio tomorrow, which will be exciting as well. and I'll have my pregame podcast. You can spend the entire day ignoring company time and just listening to Oilers Nation content.
There's not enough content we can create during the playoffs. I'm a firm believer of that. We're all electric. We're excited. So we like to create during all this. So let's fucking go.
Lots of stuff up today, too. If you're listening to this on Thursday, OilersNation.com. Tons of stuff up already.
All right, there we go. Thanks for tuning in to episode 233 of The Real Life, brought to you by HGA Group. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk for Chalmers, Wanye, Scott Hastings from Oddshark, Bag Milk, and Jay. You enjoy game two. You enjoy your long weekend as well. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Great job on making it through the entire hour of The Real Life podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.